Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm gonna need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Dr. Mariah White, host of Your Life Matters. Thanks for listening to the following broadcast on Public House Media.
Strike three, you're out.
Welcome in once again to a brand new episode of Caught Listening. Christian Heimel here with you, broadcasting as always as part of the Public House Media Network. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, share us with your friends and family on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Spreaker.com, Stitcher.com, and of course, publichousemedia.org, where you can go and get some awesome show swag. Get yourself some Public House Media gear, some Caught Listening gear, cheap seats gear, whatever you want to grab. Just go on over to publichousemedia.org and get yourself something awesome from our store. Don't forget, you can also find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, as well as on Facebook. Just search Caught Listening by Public House Media, and you can be a part of the show every single week by emailing us, CaughtListeningPHM@gmail.com. We had a tough time, honestly, deciding how we wanted to approach this week's show. You know, there was a lot that we wanted to kind of unpack. Again, as you guys know who've been following the show, this is not one that really focuses in on the headlines, but really talks about other things beyond just the games that are being played. It's why for the last month or so we've been having shows about fan experiences and what makes them great, where some of the best parts are. Obviously last week with Ben's Biz and minor league baseball, what that all means. And you know, coming into this show, we were discussing and deciding if we should, you know, tackle some of the issues, you know, whether it be race relations in Major League Baseball or whether it be the players union versus the owners and all of that. And eventually we're going to get into shows on both that really kind of dive into the history of it all. I mean, one of our first shows here earlier this year was about the Negro Leagues Museum and their 100th anniversary. They have since reopened, and I please encourage you to go back and listen to that and check out our conversation with Bob Kendrick, president of the Negro League Museum, and what they mean to the history of baseball. And the history of the Major League Baseball Players Union, arguably the strongest union in the entire country, is one that is incredibly dense, incredibly insightful, and one that is going to take some time for us to really delve into. So I'm really excited to get into that at some point and talk about, you know, Marvin Miller, what he meant, and how it really kind of changed the face of baseball. You know, Curt Flood and everything that he meant to the game of baseball as well. So the not only in you know, free agency, but also in race relations in baseball. So there's a lot more that we're going to talk about here, but I wanted to kind of spend this week really just kind of breaking things down, because this argument about Major League Baseball season, I mean, folks, it's June 18th, and we have yet to have a professional baseball game played in the United States. And a lot of that is for good reason, because of health standards. But Major League Baseball had a very serious opportunity here in the month of June, without fans, to play games and be the only bit of professional sports. This is a organization and a sport, and I'm talking about Major League Baseball. I'm not talking about the Yankees or, you know, the Marlins, whatever. Major League Baseball, as an organization, had a great opportunity here, because when you look at the average age of a Major League Baseball fan, it's middle-aged, and it's only getting older. Baseball has a very hard problem, I've said this before, marketing its stars. They don't really do that, and there are reasons for that. A lot of that is based off of contract negotiations and the fact that because there is no salary cap in baseball, when you have a primetime star, they become worth so much more because of that. And therefore, it's almost simpler to just kind of pay them and take on the luxury tax than try to fit them in to a marketing plan and fit them into a salary cap at the same time. Let's take, for example, an Aaron Judge type. Aaron Judge, who currently is still under, is in pre-arbitration years and is going to eventually get paid in the next 2-3 years, he's very affordable. When he becomes arbitration eligible and when he becomes that guy who's going to get that $30 million a year contract, whatever it might be, it's easier for the Yankees to probably say, yes, let's pay him that and go over the luxury tax, as opposed to if there was a salary cap, trying to fit him in and sign 25 other guys or 39 other guys for a 40-man roster and work him into our marketing deal. It's just easier for them to market him potentially as an ancillary benefit. If he makes more money off of jersey sales, or the Yankees make more money off jersey sales, memorabilia sales, ticket sales, that doesn't necessarily go to Aaron Judge, and so there's less to negotiate. So it's a little bit simpler there. And again, that's another topic for another show, but we'll get into that eventually here on the program. The thing here with this, and I want to break this down into two things, or three things really. Number one, where the players went wrong and right, where the owners are going wrong and right. And then the last thing is what we as fans can do about it. And it's going to be a little interesting to kind of get into that because I've got some varying opinions on that. But Major League Baseball has had an opportunity here to become the only show in town. They're not going to be able to do that. Again, it's an aging fan base that doesn't market its stars, that really doesn't have much of a hold on younger audiences. But this would have been that opportunity. Now you have the potential of basketball coming back, the NBA in Orlando. The NHL has said they're going to come back, but they haven't really said when or where. Golf is back officially. NASCAR has been back. The ratings for NASCAR have gone through the roof, and you have a different demographic than has ever watched it before. UFC is back with all this stuff. So Major League Baseball missed a wide open window. And yes, both sides are to blame. 100%. Both sides are to blame. But what I want to do is kind of take it piece by piece and give you my thoughts on all of this and try to give a little bit of context as well for all this. Let's start with the players. I'm going to preface this by saying in every single argument between players and owners, I will always, always side with players. And I'll get into reasons why when we talk about where the owners are going wrong here. Where the players are going wrong, and this can kind of be said for owners too, but where the players are going wrong here is understanding that the growth of this game, which is what players should be the biggest ambassadors for, the growth of the game should be on the players currently in it because they are the ones that the fans watch. Fans don't sit there and go to baseball games and flock stadiums and spend money and spend dollars watching games to look up in the owner's box and see what they are doing during a game. They're there to watch players. And players had a chance to set an example and a chance to prove to fans that they just want to go out and play. I understand the health side of it, and again, 100% with the players on that. If you do not feel comfortable, if you feel like your team or your league is not doing enough to make you safe, by all means, do not play. You have that right to. You have every single right to, and Major League Baseball and the owners should not dock your pay. They should not do it just because of that. If they aren't doing enough, they need to figure it out. But the players here, and like I said, a little bit on the owners too, are coming off looking like spoiled children because something like 50 million Americans are unemployed right now. Nobody cares about the players. Nobody cares that they're going to make less money. And I understand that there are minor leaguers who don't get paid enough, and we're going to touch on minor league baseball in a completely different show because the way that they're paid, is atrocious and abominable. And unfortunately, there are reasons and some form of logic behind it. But nobody in middle America who is spending $60 to park, $140 to bring their family to a game, and then have to pay $12 for a soda, $15 for a hot dog, whatever it is, cares that Mike Trout or Bryce Harper or Javi Baez or Garrett Cole is only going to make a percentage off of what they were supposed to earn this year. And I understand what Blake Snell is saying about taxes and all the things that they have to pay for the living expenses. Well, to be honest, I'm sorry, but like every other American and every other person who has to work, you should budget better. Figure that out. Understand that, you know, if you can't afford those things, you should probably haven't bought them in the first place. But again, these are weird times in all this. So where the players have really gone wrong here is coming off in that sense as though Middle America is going to side with them. And even regular, you know, not just Middle America, but anywhere, blue collar, white collar, these people who are impacted by the coronavirus and do not have the means to go pay for a baseball game to watch it, have to sit here and watch someone complain that they're only going to get paid, you know, $1 million this year. And again, I know there is a high, you know, a low percentage of players that are getting paid that high dollar value. Your 40th guy on the roster is not getting $1 million this year. He'll be lucky if he probably gets, I don't know, 60,000 this year, which is still more than some people. So there's that. Again, if you care about the sport and you want the sport to grow, you want to be out there. You want to be out there in front of things. You want to be able to make this thing happen, and you want to be able to really grow the game and show people that this is a sport worth investing in. And the other part where players have gone wrong, in my opinion, is this idea that, you know, well, this is it's up for interpretation what was agreed upon in March 26th. And this is on both sides. So I'm gonna transition into the owners here by saying this is where it all went wrong in the first place. If it's up for interpretation in March, it shouldn't have been. It should have been written out, agreed to, before you guys sign on the dotted line, because that's where all this is coming down to. And now you're digging in footholes based off the interpretation of what your agreements were. And that is honestly a stupid, stupid thing to be arguing over. It's like, well, no, we agreed to this. Well, no, it's he said, she said at this point. And that is so dumb and petty and childish to be dealing with. It's, you know, my mother used to say it was the not me ghost that always did something wrong in the house when my brothers and I would fight. It's the not me ghost right now that is dealing with this crap for Major League Baseball between the players union and the owners. Again, like I said at the start, the players I will always side with. And I think they are 100% right in arguing as much as they can for their pay and as much as they can for their health. Health first, pay second. And where the owners have gone wrong, and let me transition into this with the owners. Where the owners have gone wrong at the start, much like the players, they're running businesses. Owners, the New York Yankees are a business. They are not a team. They are a business. They are a franchise. They have bills. They have rents. They have payroll. They have utilities. They have all this stuff that they have to pay for. So many small businesses have gone out of business. Nobody cares that you're having issues, that the Steinbrenners are going to lose money this year. Not to mention the fact that everybody is probably going to lose money this year because ticket revenue is going to be non-existent, just completely gone. TV revenue is going to increase because you have that ability. But is it going to be enough? Who knows? Owners and where they're struggling now is finding ways to not only be able to pay their front office staff, pay their full-time major league staff, pay their minor leaguers something, because again, they get paid literally peanuts and maybe a bag of baseballs or a pair of cleats a year. But also, they have all this branding. They have all these other initiatives in the community that they are a part of. Look throughout, just seriously, go to your local Major League Baseball team's website and look at some of the community initiatives that they do. Those things take money. So yes, I understand that the owners are going to lose money this year and they want to try to limit as much as they possibly can. And it makes a lot of sense that you're going to do your best to ensure that you keep as much money as possible. The problem here, owners, is number one, you can claim you to be a small business. So many small businesses are going out of business this year. They don't care. Nobody feels sorry for you. Secondly, the owners never, ever have to actually tell us how much money they make. We see how much the Yankees are worth. We see that the Dodgers sold for $2 billion. The Miami Marlins, for God's sake, sold for $1.4 million. So even though we don't see your books, we don't know how much you make, we can see the optics pretty much. And we do not care. We do not care that you are losing money this year because everybody is going to lose money. Now, the other part about this is that most owners are faceless. You do not know who they are unless you are a true diehard fan of your team. If you're not a Red Sox fan, do you know that John Henry owns the Red Sox? If you're not a New York Yankees fan, do you know that the Steinbrenner family owns it? Probably because, well, you know, George Steinbrenner. If you're not a Chicago Cubs fan, do you know that it's the Rickett family? Maybe. If you're not a Mets fan, do you know that it's the Wilpons? If you're not a Marlins fan, do you know that it's Derek Jeter? There are so many teams, the Athletics, the Indians, the Kansas City Royals, the Texas Rangers, where you don't know who the owner is. You know who the GM is. You know who the starting pitcher is. You know who the starting third baseman is, the DH if you have one. You know who those people are. You don't know who the owners are. The owners get to sit back in a quiet room in a silhouette with their voice changed so you don't recognize it, and their identity basically concealed. So the players are the ones who are taking all the public risk with not only health, but with PR. The GMs always take the hit when it's something bad that goes on. Nobody complains that it's Randy Levine or Hal Steinbrenner who's doing things wrong with the Yankees. It's Brian Cashman. It's his fault. It's all that stuff. Nobody cares about the Wilpons as the owners for the Mets. It's always whoever the GM is, whether it be Omar Minaya or Steve Phillips, whoever it is. So this is the thing. The owners get to hide back behind everything. Never reveal how much money they make. Never have to step in front of a microphone. It's not like the NFL where Jerry Jones does whatever the hell he feels like he's doing for the Dallas Cowboys. The owners get to hide behind everything while the players take all the brunt of the backlash. Not only that, but the players are taking on all the risk as well from a health standpoint because they're the ones who are going to have to go into this bubble. They're going to have to interact with all these different people while the owners probably never even shake hands with their players, let alone look them in the eye. So I never feel bad for the owners. I really don't. And I know a lot of you have been looking at it and we've been seeing these things about the commissioner, how he can step in and do whatever he wants, and why hasn't the commissioner stepped in for the good of baseball? I'll tell you why. He's not really a commissioner. He's an agent of the owners. His job is to represent the 30 owners and do what 23 of the 30 owners want. 23, because that's the magic number from a voting standpoint for anything to get passed by the owners. He is not an independent resource. He is not a negotiator. He is not an arbitrator. He is an agent of the owners. So Rob Manfred is doing what the owners want. He's not doing what is done in the best interest of baseball. You have to go back 30 years to really get a commissioner who was for the benefit of baseball. Now, that was before Bud Selig. It was Peter Uberhoth. It was Bowie Kuhn, Bowie Kuhn did everything, including his argument against Curt Flood, which ended up being the wrong argument in history's eyes. For the good of baseball, because he would go in and there'd be all these trades that would want to happen, and he would say for the competitive good of baseball, no, these trades can't happen. Bowie Kuhn, if he were commissioner right now, would have stepped in back in April and got this figured out for the good of baseball, because he wasn't an owner. Neither was Peter Uberhoff. Neither was Bart Giamatti. You know who was an owner? Bud Selig. He was owner of the Milwaukee Brewers before he became commissioner. When he was voted in as commissioner, he was an owner. And that was when the tide of things changed for commissioners. It was all about the owners. That is why there is no such thing as good of baseball for the commissioner's office anymore. Not to mention the fact that baseball has a completely different, you know, setup than the NFL, the NBA, and the NHL. And there's a reason why those three leagues have it somewhat figured out, because of salary cap and a different, you know, and revenue sharing. Not to mention that the fact that, you know, in baseball, the luxury tax, the teams that go over it, that luxury tax gets split amongst the lowest teams. That's our only version of revenue sharing. No. In the NBA, in the NHL, and the NFL, revenue sharing, if, you know, the Los Angeles Lakers have a 200% surplus in revenue this year, guess what? That gets split not only between the players on that team as well, but also with some of the other teams in the league to keep them afloat as well, the lower ones who don't succeed. So it's very, very different setups as well in baseball. But the most important thing to note is that the commissioner of baseball is really an agent for the owners, and he is arguing on their behalf more than anything else. Now, we've gotten through all of that. Both sides are wrong. I will always side with the players more than anything else. Here's what we can do about it. When baseball comes back, and I don't mean this 60-game proposal, July 19th opening day, whatever it is, when we can actually go to a Major League Baseball game or to any professional baseball game, don't. It's that simple. We as fans, at some point, have to look baseball in the eye, Major League Baseball in the eye, and say, no, you guys have screwed around with us for the longest time, and we're not taking it anymore. You have to look at whatever matters and tell them you've hurt us and make them come to us. Because here's what happens. If you don't go to baseball games, Major League Baseball games, if you don't watch the playoffs on TV, you don't watch any games on TV, what happens is revenue at the gates goes down, which hurts the owners. TV money goes down, which hurts the owners. The available funds for the teams go down, which hurts the players. And so you're getting to both sides and saying, you guys screwed with us long enough and we're done. Now, I know we all love the sport. If you're listening to this show, you are clearly a baseball fan, and I love the sport. How do you fix it? How do you get your baseball fix? Do yourself a favor. Look around your area, your region, whatever it might be. Find a minor league or an independent league team and go support them. Buy season tickets. Go to games. Take your family. Whatever it is. You're going to get some good baseball. You're going to support your local community because most of the people who work there, most of the owners are people who are in your community and are doing best. Be a host family. Do something. Because the money you're going to spend at a major league team is going to be go so much further with a minor league or an independent league team. And not to mention the minor league teams that are going to get contracted potentially and how things are going to really look crazy in 2021. So if you really want to stick it to baseball, to Major League Baseball, don't go to games. Don't watch on TV. I know that's hard. Trust me. Even me saying that is so strange to imagine that I would choose to not watch a Major League Baseball game, choose to not go to a Major League Baseball game. It's difficult and it's weird to think of, but that's the way we do it. Because at some point, Major League Baseball has to realize we are the fans. We are what matters. We are what keeps you in business. And you've been toying around with us for way too long. Because if this 60-game proposal doesn't work out and we don't have baseball this year, if this proposal doesn't work, they need to not play. Don't play. Figure it out and get a new CBA negotiated before you report to spring training in 2021. Because guess what? The current CBA ends next year. The end of the 2021 season. And guess what? There could be another strike, another lockout. And if that happens, Major League Baseball is in serious, irreparable trouble. Over the last 7 years, attendance at Major League Baseball games has gone down, yet revenue has gone up. Because it's clear the owners don't care about fans. They make it more expensive so that they can still make their money. The revenues have gone up each of the last 7 years with fewer fans in the ballpark. The owners don't care. They won't market their players won't market themselves, and the only way we as fans can get them to wake up is by stop paying attention. Don't go to games. Don't watch games. Support your local minor league team, your local independent league team, your local college team, your local summer collegiate team, whatever it is. But if you really want to stick it to Major League Baseball, there's only one true way to do it. Tell them you're done. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show, as always. We're going to get into more pressing and more engaging matters next week, but I wanted to kind of take this time and just kind of give you my thoughts on all of that. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, share us with your friends and family, Spreaker.com, Stitcher.com, Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and of course, publichousemedia.org. Let us know your thoughts on this show. Let us know what other topics you might want us to talk about, because we're going to dive into a lot of these things and the history of them a lot more. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search Caught Listening by Public House Media, or email the show, caughtlisteningphm@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter as well, at Chris Heimel, C-H-R-I-S-H-E-I-M-A-L-L. And until next week, you have been caught listening.
Virginia, William Hill, America's number one sports book, is now here. And we have a special 2021 offer to help you bet on all your favorite sports risk-free. Download the William Hill Sportsbook app, and when you sign up, you can get started with a risk-free bet of up to $2,021. Use promo code RADIORF.
Terms and conditions apply. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call, text, or chat our confidential and toll-free helpline at 1-888-532-3500.
Let's make it interesting with William Hill Sportsbook.